La Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Friday, December the 22nd, 2023. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. And I am so happy to report that today is Hawaiian Shirt Friday. Let's do the Hawaiian Shirt Friday fight song. Sing it loud and proud. Yeah, it's always fun. Good way to start a weekend, especially a long weekend, Christmas weekend. I sure hope you have a great Christmas. I'm working on having a great one there myself. Going to see a lot of family, so how could I go wrong, right? Well, it depends on what you have for family. Fortunately, I'm blessed in that department. All right, let's get things started off the right way with...
The Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. And this is from somebody called Cullen Hightower. No longer with us, but he was a writer. He was a philosopher. He was just an all-around cool guy, motivational speaker. And this comes from Cullen Hightower's Wit Kit. I love this. It says, discipline without freedom is tyranny. Freedom without discipline is chaos. Mm-hmm. There. You've just had a quick lesson in the state of our country.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
Now, let's move along to the so-called educational part of the blogcast.
Twisted history.
Let's do this.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Well, I'll bet.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Okay.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1937, the Lincoln Tunnel opened to traffic in New York City. Now, it runs from Midtown Manhattan to Weehawken, New Jersey. Costs you roughly $15 these days to drive through. It varies a little bit depending on the kind of vehicle you're driving. But for all it's worth, you might as well just stay in New Jersey. And on this day in 1989, Berlin's Brandenburg Gate reopened after nearly 30 years, effectively ending the division of East and West Germany and leading to the end of the Cold War.
Let's go someplace where they treat us with respect.
I need to issue a little correction here. In yesterday's podcast, just before I ran that that long audio clip from Victor Davis Hanson, I introduced him as Jordan Peterson. Shame on me. Anyhow, my bad. But we have more from Victor Davis Hanson. Here again, one of the smartest academic minds out there, good conservative. And he was on with Tucker Carlson on Tucker's program on X. And had some interesting things to say regarding the question, is it legal to punish Trump for a crime that he's never been convicted of committing?
Yeah, I think that's the key issue, that no one has ever charged Donald Trump with a formal crime of insurrection, nor has he been convicted of it. So if a particular judge, just by fiat, says he's guilty of insurrection, it's contrary to the Constitution. It's contrary to the 14th Amendment that says people shall not be denied in an earlier section of the right of due process. So I don't think a person can just arbitrarily pick some candidate and say, you know what, I think you're an insurrectionist. And so we're on new ground. But more importantly, all the issues that you raised about January 6th really cast into doubt whether it was more of a buffoonish riot at times than a conspiracy. There was no, you don't have an insurrectionist when the supposed head of the insurrectionist tells a group of unarmed people to assemble peacefully. That's not an insurrection. And more importantly, we have a lot of other evidence. We have people in the Capitol Police that had warned that there was not enough security. And for some mysterious reason, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, would not beef up security. We have Matthew Rosenberg, who was a Pulitzer Prize journalist, who was there and said that he saw FBI informants everywhere. And when asked about that, the director of the FBI would not answer. We never got the accurate information about how many people were killed, under what circumstances they died. We had people in the Congress claiming there were 5 and 6 people who were killed that day when they actually committed suicide much later. So there was an effort of the January 6th committee to suppress free debate and cross-examination.
You don't need a law degree to understand that there's corruption up to their nose holes on the left. Now, the left controls the government. They've controlled the government since Trump left office. And ever since they set foot into the White House, ever since they retained their majority in the Senate, the left has done an amazing job of running roughshod over our Constitution. They break the law out in the open. In some cases, they're even bragging about breaking the law. But hey, we're the ones in power, so we get to do this. Yet, and here's where they're really screwing up, they're not giving a moment's thought to the repercussions should Trump win. Now, you look at the Democrat Party today, particularly the Biden administration and all of the various government organizations that Biden has appointed leadership to. They're scared. They're quaking in their boots right now because I think they know that Trump is going to win. They can see that the American people are angry. Man, you don't ever want to have to hold an election when the people of your country are angry with you. But that's what's about to happen. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, this coming year, 2024, is going to be a real stinker of a year. This is going to be a very, very bad year. It's going to be bad for the economy. It's going to be bad for the American people. It's going to be bad regarding violence in our cities because there are going to be demonstrations. This anti-Semitism that we're seeing, that's going to get worse. And all I'm telling you right now is just hang on to your hat because it's not going to be a good year, not until the end. When November comes and Trump wins, and I really believe he's going to win. I don't think anybody can beat him. And these pollsters who hold these, well, if the election were held today, Trump would win by 4 points. By 4 points? I mean, it will be a rather close election because as a nation, we are that divided. But again, we get to the point, is it legal to punish Trump or anybody else for that matter for a crime that he or she has never been convicted of committing? Is it legal? No, of course not. Here again, you want to know if anything's legal, just go to our Constitution. It's all in there. All right, when was that? Tuesday night when the Supreme Court there in Colorado made it official that they were going to pull Trump off the ballot? All right, let's recap. Trump hasn't been charged with engaging in insurrection. Nobody has charged him with it because he didn't do it. And yet this undemocratic move has never happened before here in the United States. You are witnessing history being made right in front of your eyes. Now, the global community remains silent, particularly over there in Europe, but America's continuing right now to slide into a totalitarian state. And this is making me a bit nervous because I wonder, amidst all of my predictions about 2024 being a very lousy year, it's going to be an almost unbelievable year. You think you've lived through some bad years before? You ain't seen nothing yet, my friend. I really believe that there is going to be an extra hard push toward totalitarianism between now and the election in November. So amidst all of this, I mean, you know, we're still a pretty much an open society, aren't we? We publish all our warts, all of our shortcomings in the media, and it's made available to the rest of the world. Well, now El Salvador leader Nayib Bukele was the first to push back on this stunning situation. Here's what he tweeted, or X'd. He said, "The United States has lost its ability to lecture any other country about democracy." Boom! Slam dunk! He's right. And meanwhile, Ambassador Richard Grenell pointed out the shocking truth that it was El Salvador who first spoke about this injustice. Think about it. Here's what Richard Grenell tweeted. He said, "The El Salvador president is the first world leader to condemn Joe Biden's fascist moves to keep his opponent off the ballot." Wow. They've just given us a black eye. But it wasn't Bukele who gave us the black eye. Here again, it's like I always say, we have met the enemy and he is us. In this particular case, it's Colorado. California now wants to do the same thing. They want to keep Trump off the ballot. And why? Not because of anything Trump has done. They want to keep Trump off the ballot because they know Trump is going to clean house. And they know the house must be cleaned. You've got a quarter inch layer of dust on top of everything in this house. Only the dust is a corruption. The dust is not just corruption, but it's the intense move these days to move this nation closer and closer to something resembling socialism, if not outright communism. Totalitarianism, to be sure. And this push isn't going to be let up anytime soon. We must have Donald Trump in office. Now, why Donald Trump? Why not Ron DeSantis? Wouldn't Ron DeSantis clean house? Yee. Good question. Maybe he would. But I don't have as much confidence in Ron DeSantis to take on the deep state, the swamp, as I do Donald Trump. You see, there's one thing about Donald Trump that none of the other candidates has. A seething anger toward those who did to him what they did. And what they're trying to do right now. And all it's doing is, it's energizing the man. This guy, he's like a one-man mafia now. He's going out after the people who are corrupting this nation. He's going out after the people who are burning our Constitution. I hope you realize how important it is that Donald Trump win this election. Because if he does not, particularly if the Democrats win again, that's it. Country done. This country is doomed. And you look at some of the symptoms. Look at the condition our big cities are in. Almost all our big cities. Look at the condition they're in. The one city I have a lot of hope for is, believe it or not, Dallas. Where their black mayor there switched parties. He left the Democrat Party, joined the Republican Party, and he said, our big cities in this country need more Republican mayors. And you know what? This is great because right next door in Fort Worth, Texas, they've had a string of Republican mayors. Their current mayor is Republican, and the lady who preceded her is Republican. And those two cities are doing just fine. And Dallas is getting better. Now, if some of that influence in Dallas will just kind of reach down to Austin, that would be great. That would be wonderful. Houston just had another election, and thank God John Whitmire managed to beat SJL, Sheila Jackson Lee. Lee would have been disastrous for Houston. I think Whitmire might actually turn out to be a pretty good mayor. Houston hasn't had a really good mayor since... Well, Anise Parker was pretty good there, at least during her first term. But the last really good mayor that Houston had was Bob Lanier, the late Bob Lanier. He was super. But the last Republican mayor that Houston had was Louis Welch. He served from 1964 through 74. And man, it was so great living in Houston when he was our mayor. Oh, God, that guy was super. So it's very important, very important. It's imperative that Donald Trump be elected again to the White House. And remember, he's only going to have 4 years in there. No more of these stupid pandemics or plandemics. We've got to play for keeps this time around when we get Donald Trump back into the White House. And yes, the corrupt among us, the corrupt individuals and groups, because there are corrupt groups within our government, they must be eliminated. No, I'm not talking about killing them off. Throwing them in prison for life might be nice. but they must be purged from our government. I don't know if you've been watching Argentina much. I noticed that our mainstream media here in the States isn't. They're not paying any attention whatsoever to this guy, Javier Milei, who just won the presidency down there. And it doesn't surprise me, because the mainstream media doesn't like conservatism, and this guy is so conservative. You know, it's too bad they can't do this. Let him serve out his term or terms down there in Argentina, and then when he's done, bring him up here to the States. Because here's what he's doing. He's reportedly planning to ban inclusive or woke language from Argentina's military. Now, you have to wonder if he's been watching what's happening to the military in the United States. I mean, seriously, it's as though he's watching everything that's going on up here and he's saying, holy Nelly, God forbid that that should ever happen down here. Now, you know, the history of Argentina going back the last 100 years is pretty severe. And they shot themselves in the foot back about 100 years ago with their monetary system. They did some things with their economy that they shouldn't have done. And it was a shame, too, because just prior to that, Argentina was one of the wealthiest nations on the planet. Well, they may very well be on their way to recovery, finally, after 100 years. But this guy, Milei, he's got to have been watching what's going on here in the States, particularly with their military, because we are still trying to recruit across all branches. We're short by something like 40,000 men and women. And this is a problem. The critics have linked to the military's embrace of progressive policies. This guy, General Milley, has got to go. And for that matter, what's his name? Our Pentagon chief. So here's the way Breitbart reported on it. It says, Argentina to ban woke inclusive language in the military. Argentine Defense Minister Luis Petri announced the new administration of President Javier Milei will ban leftist inclusive language in Argentina's military. Petri also claimed that Argentina's defensive power is as devastated as the country. Made the announcement on Sunday evening, December 17th, during La Noche de Mirtha, an Argentine late-night show hosted by actress Mirtha Legrand. And Petri said, some people even spoke with inclusive language. We're going to prohibit the use, for example, of inclusive language within the armed forces. It cannot be. And then when asked to elaborate by another guest, Petri explained, there's a military language that has to be complied with. And there have been advances in the rules of discipline and the normal language that clearly end up degrading and making the armed forces regress. Because they are military forces, I mean, and to be forced to speak in a certain language is not appropriate for the military discipline that should exist. And this is without any kind of bias. Did you notice he emphasized that? What an amazing concept. You think maybe we could try that here? Oh, we certainly will if Trump makes it to the White House. But I mean, this is fantastic. The U.S. military would be wise to follow Milei's example. Perhaps recruiting might begin to return to normal levels. Talk to any military recruiter. If he or she is allowed to speak freely, and the story that they'll paint for you is not a pretty one, they can't get anybody to join. Now, in the recruitment efforts, within the realm of media, okay, the recruitment efforts have changed. They've taken down all of those touchy-feely, snowflakey advertisements, and they've replaced them now with something that's a little more straightforward. Be all you can be. They've gone back to that with the Army. The Air Force hasn't had nearly the problems recruiting that the other branches of the service have. I really haven't paid much attention to how the Marine Corps was doing. I would imagine the Marines resisted the wokeism. But when it comes to Army, you're talking about an entirely different animal. And we can't afford this anymore. We just can't. And by afford it, I'm not talking about monetarily. We cannot afford it in so much as the preservation of our Judeo-Christian culture is concerned. The leftists are pushing us into extremism with this DEI crap. And remember this, we Americans are not the originators of this DEI concept. This was originated over in Europe. And our friend Klaus Schwab and his merry band of ne'er-do-wells concocted all this DEI crap and ESG. You know what? Those are six letters, DEI and ESG, that should probably be abolished just for the sheer survival of our Judeo-Christian culture. Jim Hoft, writing in the Gateway Pundit, says that San Francisco rolled out the red carpet for Xi Jinping in November. The far-left California city and center of innovation held a parade in Xi Jinping's honor, complete with communist flags lining the streets. I'm looking at the photos right now. It's sickening. Sickening! But I suppose not too surprising for California. And of course, you had Chinese-Americans welcoming Xi as his caravan drove by. Same Chinese who fled communist China to come to the U.S. That, too, I find sickening. Anyhow, during the summit, Xi Jinping told Joe Biden to his face that China is going to take Taiwan at the time of their choosing. President Xi also told Biden to make a public statement in support of China's plans. How about that for brass? So China treats Joe Biden like a puppet. So you have to wonder, why is that? Well, here's the way NBC News reported it. Again, remember, NBC News, very left-wing. Quoting them, said, Chinese President Xi Jinping bluntly told President Joe Biden during the recent summit in San Francisco that Beijing will reunify Taiwan with mainland China, but that the timing has not yet been decided, according to three current and former U.S. officials. Xi told Biden in a group meeting attended by a dozen American and Chinese officials that China's preference is to take Taiwan peacefully, not by force. So I'm imagining probably something akin to the way they took over Hong Kong. Of course, that Hong Kong agreement was an agreement that had been made 100 years prior. And that was between the UK and China. The Chinese leader also referenced public predictions by U.S. military leaders who say that Xi plans to take Taiwan in 2025 or 2027, telling Biden that they were wrong because he's not yet set a time frame, according to two current and one former official briefed on the meeting. Chinese officials also asked in advance of the summit that Biden make a public statement after the meeting saying that the U.S. supports China's goal of peaceful unification with Taiwan and does not support Taiwanese independence. The White House rejected the Chinese request. Well, at least this administration has done one thing right. A spokesperson for the National Security Council declined to comment. Again, that's from Jim Hoft over there at Gateway Pundit. But I don't know how to read this. I mean, is this whole affair just major evidence to the complete decline of this country? I mean, can you imagine something like this happening under someone like Dwight Eisenhower? Nixon, even. Certainly wouldn't have happened under JFK. Oh, JFK would have read him the Riot Act. What is happening to this nation? Then again, what's happening to the world? Are we really becoming a world community? Are we going to eventually, maybe in another 200 years, see the elimination of borders between countries? Doesn't seem to be working out for us right now, does it? I mean, look at Europe. In fact, you have to admire Poland. Poland isn't letting anybody in. Not without a real rigorous form of vetting anyone who applies to go to live in Poland. And because of it, the Polish economy is doing very, very well. Why aren't we learning these lessons? A parting shot here before we head on out for Christmas. J.D. Vance of Ohio did a terrific job of turning the tables on an AP reporter who asked this absurd question. What do you have to say to the former president's comments over the weekend about immigrants and saying that they're poisoning the blood of America?
Well, look, I've been asked this question a number of times, and here's my view on these comments. First of all, he didn't say immigrants were poisoning the blood of this country. He said illegal immigrants were poisoning the blood of the country, which is objectively and obviously true to anybody who looks at the statistics about fentanyl overdoses. And I think just one observation about the press as an organization, you guys seem far more upset about the guy who criticized the problem than you did about Joe Biden, who's causing this problem.
Can you just go back to his comments, though,
sure,
and sort of using language that we heard, you know, during World War II? I'm sure you're a student of history. You're well aware what that kind of language represents in historical context.
What organization do you represent?
I work at the Associated Press.
The idea that I am well aware, you just framed your question implicitly assuming that Donald Trump is talking about Adolf Hitler. It's absurd. It is absurd. Why do you think that Donald Trump's language is targeted at the blood of the immigrants and not at the blood of the American citizens who are being poisoned by the fentanyl problem?
You think he was referring to
fentanyl? I think this is ridiculous. If you watch the speech in context and you look at what's going on, it is obvious that he was talking about the very clear fact that the blood of Americans is being poisoned by a drug epidemic. To take that comment and then to immediately assume that he's talking about immigrants as Adolf Hitler talked about Jews is preposterous. You guys need to wake up and actually do some
journalism. Should he use different language then?
Here's the problem with that question and that framing. You are allegedly a journalist. You're supposed to speak truth to power. And yet, you're trying to circumscribe and narrow the limits of debate on immigration in this country. What you're doing is not speaking truth to power. You're trying to police the guy who's criticizing the problem so that Americans don't pay attention to the guy who caused the problem.
Okay.
It's an absurd question. It's an absurd framing.
That right there, my friend, is what is commonly referred to as a slam dunk. To the Comedy Corner now with the very funny Brian Kiley.
Thank you. What a day I had today. Today I spent the day converting my son's bedroom into my office. That should get him to move out. I've tried everything. Well, it's so nice to be in front of people, you know? Yes. Oh, I've been a little depressed. You know, we didn't see my wife's family for Easter, and we didn't see them for Christmas, and I've been a little depressed because I know at some point we're going to have to see them again. This can't go on forever. So I'm from Boston originally, but I live in Los Angeles now, and things shut down there around March of 2020. So I haven't been to the gym since 1989. I'm gonna get back out there. LA is a strange place. When the pandemic started, I drove by the park in my neighborhood and I spotted a guy sunbathing naked. I yelled, "Hey, buddy, put a mask on." I saw a doctor on TV one day saying that we may have to wear masks for the rest of our lives. And I thought, I wish he had told me that before I got my kids' braces. Oh, I think people are sick of the masks. I saw someone today getting harassed for wearing a mask. I was at the bank. The poor guy's just trying to rob the place. My daughter graduated from college during the pandemic, and her graduation took place online. And she was so bummed out about it. Here's the thing. She went to an online university. I don't know what she's expecting, to be honest. I got in some bad habits during the pandemic. I would stay up late at night and buy things I shouldn't on Amazon. One night, late at night, I bought my hamster a Peloton. That wheel is not enough of a challenge. I had a weird thing happen a couple weeks ago. I looked out on my front porch, and I spotted a coyote. And it was kind of my fault because I'd ordered a package from Acme. You have to be a certain age to get that joke. Not as many Roadrunner fans as I had hoped.
Make it a wonderful Christmas weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Wednesday's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?